Hello, Angela. Welcome to the Hopes on Mohawk magazine. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. How things have been since the last time that we spoke in June when Mr. Jovanon had just become the owner of the Lakeview Mobile Home Park and the residents had this concern of his possible agenda to drive people out and build boat storage. What has happened?
Well, one resident has left the park, and they indicated it was due to stress over this whole situation. They also indicated that they would now be staying with families, so they are not in a secure housing situation. The park also has very few trees left. There's one section that looks like a dump site because two trailers were demolished, and they were abandoned trailers, and one was condemned, and they were demolished on site instead of just being removed. So some, but not all, of the debris from the two trailers being demolished were removed, but it's like a giant mud pit with garbage in it, basically. So it's been very stressful for the residents here.
Has the Attorney General help? Have anybody has contacted them?
The Attorney General took an interest in this situation because it was kind of a testing ground for the new law, the new right of first refusal protections for residents that went into effect in 2019. But unfortunately, the landlord, Mike Giovannone, exploited a loophole in that law that took away our right of first refusal when he agreed to let us live here for 5 years and not change the use of the park for 5 years. So, someone from the Attorney General's office has been monitoring the situation and is aware of a lot of the things that have been happening here. But as of yet, they're kind of stuck in this place where they are concerned but not able to intervene. The state's Department of Housing and Community Renewal has a mobile home unit, and that unit has been informed that there were some sketchy things in our lease. For example, we were required by our new lease to pay an increased rent amount right away when he took ownership of the park. And that's technically illegal. He's supposed to give us 90 days before increasing the rent. So that mobile home unit of that state agency has reached out to him as of October to inform him that he is required to give us 90 days. Unfortunately, many people were already paying the higher amount, and I'm in touch with that office on a very regular basis asking, what is his plan? How is he planning to reimburse or credit us? And so far, all I've gotten is that they've reached out to him a couple times and he's not responding. So basically, it's like he's getting away with stealing from low-income residents for the time being. And at the end of October, when the landlord hired a company called SDS Tree and Stump Removal to take yet more trees out of the park, I presented the landlord and the crew with a printed copy of the town code, which states that mobile home park residents in the town of Saratoga are entitled to have adequate trees to provide shade and privacy. It doesn't say X number of trees, but it says basically enough trees to provide shade and to obstruct any unwanted views.
So, what was the reaction when you showed them the printed copy of the town code?
Well, the landlord didn't want to look at it, and the crew from SDS Tree and Stump Removal screamed at me and cursed, called me names. And the landlord called the police on me. The officer that arrived stated the law, quote, appears vague. And eventually they arrested me for trying to delay the tree cutting so I could speak to my attorney, as I was scheduled to speak to my attorney at 9 o'clock that morning. And they wouldn't give me the time to just wait for 9 o'clock to talk to him.
Why were you arrested for?
Technically, it's a violation for trespassing. And so it's because I moved from standing in the road to standing under a tree, hoping that the crew would stop cutting the tree while I was standing under it. Turns out they continued cutting even with me standing there. So I go to court at the Saratoga Town Court on December 7th at 3 p.m. And I'm planning to have a rally outside the court, which is basically like the 12 Spring Street in Schuylerville. And I'm planning to have press there and to have a rally at 2 p.m. just prior to the hearing.
Oh, wow. Has he made any improvements? I mean, cutting trees is not an improvement, but anything good?
Well, you know, I can understand trimming a couple of limbs that are endangering a house, but taking out 50 plus trees seems a little excessive. And, you know, the landlord will tell the media that he's put 45,000 plus into, you know, fixing the place up. And he's had numerous dumpsters here to remove different, you know, garbage and things like that. But I've also seen people coming in from his business next door and putting things in the dumpster. So, you know, and then just, you know, the dumpster is just sitting here in our neighborhood. So between that and the excessive tree removal, it appears that he's putting money into doing things that benefit his plan to expand his boat storage, but don't specifically benefit the community here. And as for what the park is like now, so there's a pump house, which he uses the outside wall as a bulletin board, and the pump house is falling apart. Now, it was like that before he took ownership, so he didn't make it that way. But, you know, if you're going to spend $45,000 to improve a place, like, how about start with closing the, you know, making it so this building has a door that closes? He's also installed lighting along the back of his boat storage building, and those lights shine directly into our backyards. Yet there's no lights on the road in the park. And that's something that we've been reluctant, like I've been reluctant to say that to the media, because, you know, based on the trajectory we've been on, it wouldn't surprise me if I have floodlights outside my window as like the next thing. Speaking of floodlights, the flooding in the park has gotten more widespread, of course, because he removed several trucks full of trees on four separate occasions. So this has definitely had a negative impact on the quality of life here. And there's also now a section of the park that is all mud and garbage where they demolished those two trailers. And there's garbage piled up where one of the homes was sold and removed. So that home was moved from the park where the person is now housing in unstable. And the individual who bought the trailer, I'm assuming, is the one responsible for the process of removing it, any garbage that accumulates in that process. And yet it's been sitting there for weeks. Several trash pickup dates have come and gone, and there's just this heap of trash out there.
In the interview in the Times Union, he says he put $45,000 into fixing up the park. Has he done anything to lighten the burden on the residents?
So just to be clear, the $45,000, I think that was a figure he quoted to WAMC, but he did also tell the Times Union that he's putting all this money into fixing up the park. And he's put more in since then. He'll tell the media that he does all these great things. Like he said that he donated a coat because there was a kid here who didn't have a coat. And he said that, you know, he treated residents to pizza. And what wasn't printed is that the reason residents didn't have dinner is because the crew that he hired on one of the days he was cutting trees knocked out power to several homes. And this was during the summer. And you know how hot this past summer was. So yeah, they couldn't cook and he ordered them pizza, but you've still got elderly people and people with disabilities and people who may have breathing difficulties and children sweltering in the heat in homes with no, you know, no power. So the responsible thing would have been to at least put them up in an air-conditioned hotel room until the power was back on, just to make sure they had air conditioning. Several people also picked up in the community and outside of the community picked up on his tone in the Times Union article, where he referred to the community here as, quote, these people. And, you know, he was saying something to the effect of, I do all these things for these people and they don't appreciate me. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But the quote is referring to us as these people, rather than, you know, rather than acknowledging that we are a community and we deserve respect. He's mentioned to the press that the $15,000 that state law gives as a maximum payout when a mobile home park closes, he refers to that as if it's an offer he's making, and that's not accurate. And he's saying that he's going to deduct the cost of removing trailers from that $15,000 amount. So, and he's saying, you know, it's $8,000 to move a trailer, so it's $15,000 minus the $8,000. First of all, it's different rates to move different trailers. Second of all, he does not have the authority to make that decision. The law is that when a park owner closes a park or changes the use of a park, after a certain point of time, he has to take us to court and technically evict us And during that eviction proceeding, it is up to the judge who hears the eviction to decide what amount of money, up to $15,000, each household is given. So he's making it sound like, oh, I'm going to make people a deal. We have seen no evidence of him making anybody any deals. And he's already talking about something that's a matter of law as if it's up to his discretion, and it's not.
Well, we are talking with Angela Kaufman. She is a resident of the Lakeview Mobile Home Park. When we last spoke, he appeared to be targeting you as retaliation. How has it been?
It's definitely escalated. So one example of that, back in September, we had an organizer, Yvonne Maldonado, who was here from Manufactured Housing Action, which is a nonprofit that is all based on peers, people who also live in mobile home parks. And that group helps residents to understand our rights and also advocates for legislative protections for mobile home park residents. So we were intending to canvass to make sure people in the community understood their rights. And Yvonne got to, you know, the very first place we went to, the very first neighbor we started talking to. We're 10 minutes into the conversation, and it appears that the manager of the park called Giovannone, who showed up and like immediately made a beeline for us and interrupted the conversation that the organizer was having with my neighbor. And, you know, part of that interruption was Giovannone saying, "I have all the support here, Angela. You have none. Go crawl back into your hole." And during that encounter, you know, the landlord said to this neighbor something to the effect of that, "I don't know what's coming next," meaning me, like, you know, she doesn't know what's coming next, or, you know, just wait till she sees what's coming next, or something like that. So right as this is happening, Yvonne is also notifying the park manager that she's feeling harassed, and she's telling him, "Stop following us. I'm feeling very harassed." And the manager continually yells at me, basically parroting what the landlord is saying. And his his reply to Yvonne is that if you don't like it, call the police. So shortly after that, the landlord tried to claim my dead end driveway is an emergency access road, on the basis that he, you know, had a crew turn some fencing into a gate, and the gate goes nowhere. It goes onto a lawn behind his boat storage unit. So it doesn't go to a road. And yet he's trying to say this is a safety issue. It's an emergency access gate. This park has been here, somebody said, for 40 years. His boat storage unit has been there for years. And yet suddenly it needs this gate that goes to a piece of lawn behind his boat storage unit for some reason. And so first he tried to steal my carport. And then when he couldn't do that, because I could prove that it doesn't belong to the park, that I bought it as part of the purchase of the home. Since then, he's been trying to insist that it needs to be moved. It also appears he was not happy about the Times Union article, and he tried to accuse the reporter of lying because she published my professional credentials. So apparently he couldn't believe that I had these credentials and was like, you know, asking her for some kind of evidence or something like that. I don't even know.
For the listeners, what are your credentials?
So I am an LCSW, that's a licensed clinical social worker, and it's a state license that people can get when they have a master's in social work and then, you know, another license and so many years of work in the field under supervision.
I mean, why wouldn't he believe your credentials?
Yeah, it's baffling, isn't it? It could be a lot of things. I mean, it could be classism. You know, people think that if you live in a trailer park, you can't possibly be a professional with an advanced degree. And I've noticed, you know, just as a side note, I've lived in apartments, I've lived in a house with a foundation, and I've lived here. And even dealing with, you know, the police, when they show up, there's a very different tone here. You know, there's a very different tone here when they're dealing with me as a mobile home park resident than what I used to hear when they would show up when I was in a house with a foundation or in an apartment. So there's very much an institutionalized classism issue here. So it could be that, it could be misogyny, it could be a combination of the two. I mean, professional licenses are a matter of public record, so he could have just looked it up instead of bothering the reporter. Generally, it appears he's not used to people challenging him, and he's, you know, this whole time he's been responding very unprofessionally. For a while, he was printing things off of my Facebook page and posting them on the bulletin board.
What was he posting from your Facebook page?
Well, I should say that he or somebody acting on his behalf posted a number of different things over the course of the fall. And he can claim that he didn't do it and someone else did. But one of the posts actually had his signature on it. And it was a post I made about the children in the park watching their parents being bullied by the landlord. And he wrote on it something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, but something to the effect of, you know, if anyone agrees with these slanderous statements, contact me or the authorities immediately. This woman needs professional help. And then his signature, he signed it. So
now he's going from mobile park owner to have the ability to evaluate someone's mental health?
I guess so. I'm not the LCSW. I guess he is. But that's a good point. I mean, and the ableism didn't end there. I mean, he told the Times Union that I'm, quote, you know, a psycho. And again, that's another misogynistic, ableist, classist tactic used throughout history to discredit activists. Like, what's one of the favorite tactics of, you know, wealthy white men is to vilify their opposition by calling their mental health and sanity into question and trying to dismantle any credibility they have that way.
So what is going to happen next?
So I go to court on December 7th at 3. And if, you know, if folks are able to join me for the rally, I'd like to kick that off around 2. That'd be great. And I'm basically going to see what happens. I'm not going to give up. This is a matter of environmental and housing justice. And so no matter what happens, I'm going to continue to challenge what he's doing.
For the listeners, how can they help you?
Spreading the word about what's going on here has been tremendously helpful. If other people want to, you know, individuals or organizations want to get involved, please contact me on Facebook. I've had a number of really wonderful local organizations reach out, and they've been helping with the organizing here and getting involved, and that's been tremendously helpful. And you know, as always, you know, good civic engagement. I would say, listeners, if you're the type of person who might read something in the paper or hear something on the radio and you have an opinion about it, make that opinion known, whether it's writing a letter to the editor of the Times Union, voicing your concern or your opinion, whether it's contacting local politicians, the town board at Saratoga, you know, in the town of Saratoga, or even if it's contacting the landlord through his business. That information is out there. He's the owner of Boat and RV Storage. That's the letter N, not the word and. And so that may not be a message that he's receptive to. But again, if you're the kind of person that when you hear something that bothers you, you want to make it known that you don't agree with that, whatever venue you would, you know, whether it's social media or writing a letter, whatever venue you would normally notify authorities of your opinion, please by all means do. And that includes, you know, notifying the Attorney General if you feel moved to do that as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time. And I know it has been stressful for you and the residents. And I will follow up again and hopefully you give us better news.
That would be great. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela.